If I could start by reading Psalm 22, Psalm of David. Let's start with just the first two verses of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou far from my salvation? From the words of my groaning, my God, I cry by day, and thou answerest not, and by night, and there is no rest for me. As we go through our lives here, we sometimes experience perhaps discrimination or loneliness or separation in some way or another. Thinking recently, I know someone known to me who has been bullied in school recently. That's perhaps one form that we realise when we're young. Perhaps some of us have experienced that, maybe not. But school children can be quite mean sometimes and say things that we don't like, and it can leave us feeling a bit lonely and a bit unliked, doesn't it? And maybe when in the PE lesson, where there's, I can remember in PE where there was teams were picked, we'd have the team captains and teams were picked, and if you end up being picked last, you can feel a bit left out, can't you? You can feel a bit separated from the rest of the group. And as you get on in employment, maybe you find that you're discriminated perhaps in unemployment for getting a position at work or so on. And this is one this is one aspect of perhaps the loneliness and the separation that we can sometimes feel in our lives. And it's not a nice feeling. Sometimes we can be in a minority. If we're into football or rugby or something like that, and we just go to a match and end up going to the wrong stand, the opposite side stand, we might feel a bit out of place there. We might feel that being a bit of a minority might feel uncomfortable there. Or if you're into politics, you might see a vote that goes through Parliament where it goes through with a majority, but you feel it's wrong that it's gone through with that majority. You might feel a bit like a minority. You might feel that there's an overpowering force in the world that you can't really do anything about. Speaking from my own experiences, I moved to Wales as an Englishman, and when the Welsh won the Grand Slam, I was in a room full of Welsh people. I did feel rather alone there. I felt rather rather separated from the rest of them, you might say. But even the church itself, the Christian church, most of us will probably realise that the Christian church, there's lots and lots of different types of churches there, lots of different names and different churches that are out there which you can go to, and some of them vastly different from others. And even when it comes to the church, there are many people have many different views and opinions, and someone trying to find a church to go to might feel that it's very hard to find somewhere where they're comfortable going to, because there's so many different places to go to. But all separation in this world, all these loneliness, all these separations, all these divisions, all these uncomfortable situations, they come in as a mark of sin. And the foundation for the gospel is a realisation of that sin. The foundation for the gospel message this evening is a realisation of that sin. We all have that sin in our lives. If we sin against someone, we probably feel awkward in their presence if we've wronged someone, or we've done something to them that we're not proud of. When we're in the presence of that person, we might feel a bit awkward. We might feel like we just want to go away, or we just want to make up in some way, perhaps, for the way that we've wronged them. But you know, the Bible says that all sin that we commit is sin against God. Ultimately, separation, like we feel separated from someone that we wrong, we feel that you can draw out a friendship with someone who we've wronged, or someone who's wronged you. You can draw out friendship with them, feel separated from them. In the same way, because of our sin, we've been separated from God. And as we read in this passage of King David, he had sinned. Before he wrote this psalm, he had sinned, and he felt that separation. To write these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt that separation that's come in as a result of sin. And you know, each one of us in our lives, we might have friends which we get on with, and we might feel that perhaps we're not lonely, but there's always an emptiness inside of us which can never be filled with anything from this world. We feel an emptiness that there's only one thing that can fill that emptiness. But all the things in this world, riches, friendship with people, or status or fame, there's nothing in this world that can satisfy that emptiness we have. It maybe satisfies us for a moment. We can have pleasure for a moment in this scene, but it never satisfies us completely. There's always that emptiness and something missing inside us, in our lives. But it's not all doom and gloom, because the gospel message is an answer to that. It's an answer to that that emptiness that we feel. Because, you see, it's because of sin that's come in, and we need to realise that it's because of sin. We need to look into our lives and realise that sin that is in there. We read in the reading earlier about a lady who was able to realise that, able to realise how insignificant she was against God. But you know, that's the foundation of repentance. We need to first of all realise how weak and feeble we are, and how sinful we are. When we compare to Jesus, when we compare to the Lord Jesus, and how perfect and righteous he was. Because he lived here, a perfect man, perfect in every scene, and anything that he came up against, he always acted righteously. And he was perfect and holy all the way through. And yet, man in his sinful nature decided to crucify him. They didn't want anything to do with him. They decided to crucify him. And that's the foundation of the gospel. It's built on love, because the Lord could have at any point come away from that pathway that was to take him to the cross. He could at any point come away from that, but because of his love for you, dear friend, for his love for you and for me, he kept going that way, even though he was to be mocked and jeered, and he was going to be beaten and whipped and cruelly treated, and eventually hung upon a cross, treated as a common criminal, and he was hung upon a cross, and he bled and he died for us. But you know, I talk about separation, and these exact words that David said, the Lord said them himself on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you know, David was experienced separation, but nothing like the separation that the Lord experienced there on the cross. When God turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ in those 3 hours of darkness to lay upon him the punishment that is due to us for our sins, he experienced a greater separation than anyone else ever has or ever will experience. If God was to turn his back on you or I tonight, we would drop dead in an instant. It's the very breath we breathe is provided for us by God. And the greatness of that separation from God the Father, the Lord Jesus was the only one who could endure that. He endured it for 3 hours on the cross in those 3 hours of darkness. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what he went through for you and me, my friend. He wanted us. He saw that separation that was there, and he wanted that separation healed. He wanted to draw us back to God. And you can be drawn back to God this evening. We cannot fathom that love that was displayed there at Calvary. You see, mankind has always, you look through the history of the Bible, you look through secular history in the world, you see how mankind has always turned his back on God. He's always hated God. There have been a few individuals who have shone out through history as ones who have responded to God, but on the majority of those who've lived through the ages have always turned against God. And you might wonder, well, why would God send his son? Why would the Lord go to the cross if so many people were going to reject him, if so many people were to hate him? It's love that we cannot fathom, but that's love that that I want to share with you this evening in the gospel message, because it's the greatest love that has ever been known, is the love of the Lord Jesus. When you think of the suffering and the agony that he went through for us. I'd like to read in John chapter 20. So first, I often read in the gospel, I find myself reading it quite often, but I think it's very touching here. And the Lord comes out of death and he meets Mary. He meets Mary and he has these words to say in verse 17. Jesus says unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. You see, this shows us the reason why the Lord went that way. It shows us one of the great reasons why the Lord went that way into death for us. He wanted us to be reunited with the Father, and now we can be. As coming out of death, he was able to say these words to Mary, that we can now be reunited with the Father. We can carry on that relationship that was broken with Adam, and we can return to if we turn to the Lord in prayer and ask for the forgiveness of our sins, realize our sins before a perfect and holy God, ask for the forgiveness of our sins, ask for the Lord to come into our lives, then our sins will be forgiven, because it's our sins that's blocking us from having that great relationship with God. And those sins will be removed from our lives. God will not look on those sins anymore, because the Lord Jesus has suffered for us and taken the punishment for those sins. And we will be able to call upon him. We will be able to call upon the Father as our God and Father. That's an amazing relationship that we can now have with God. We can call upon him as Father. You think about that. That's the creator, the person who created you, the person who created me, the person who created all that's in existence. That's God. And we can have a relationship with him, call him Father. That's the closeness that we can have with him. We need to deal with our sin first, though. The sin is important, but we need to deal with it. And we can't deal with it by ourselves. It was the Lord who dealt with the problem of sin on the cross. But now we can have our sins forgiven because as a result of that. I'd like to read to you a verse from John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 15. I call you no longer bondmen, for the bondman does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things which I have heard of my Father, heard of my Father, I have made known to you. This is a very touching message from the Lord here. He's speaking to his disciples, but the same thing applies to us this evening. If we accept the Lord as our Saviour, not only to become reunited with the Father and have that relationship with him as sons before him, but we also have this amazing friendship with the Lord Jesus himself. As we go through our lives, we as I said, we can sometimes suffer loneliness, or we can sometimes suffer separation or persecution in some way. Especially once you become a Christian, you might find it very hard to speak to those around you about being a Christian, about your faith. But remember, there's always one, no matter how many people turn against you in this life. When you become a Christian, there's always one who's your friend. That's the Lord Jesus. As we witness here in these verses, there's a proverb, you don't need to turn to it, Proverbs 18 says, a man of many friends will come to ruin, but there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's the friendship that is on offer from the Lord Jesus. The Lord went into death for us because he wanted to help us, because he loves us, and he wants to carry on that friendship with us. A man of many friends will come to ruin. I think we can all have friends here in this world, and occasionally we have friends that maybe let us down, but the Lord will never let us down. There's a nice description that I heard once in another gospel preaching of it was a picture of the Lord walking alongside a man, and they follow the footprints in the sand. I'm sure many of us here have heard this story before. And they follow the footsteps, and they see the footprints at one point where there's only one set of footprints. The two sets of footprints go down to one set of footprints. And the man says, well, you weren't with me here. I was all on my own through these hard times. The Lord says, no, I was carrying you for those hard times. That's only why there's one set of footprints. But that's the point. When we accept the Lord as our Saviour, he stays with us. Mm-hmm. Through the hard times, he helps us. Mm-hmm. And that's the message I wanted to bring across to you this evening, that the gospel message. Some people might see the becoming a Christian as being a road where you have to work at being good and work at being nice to other people and being charitable, and you have to really work hard at being a Christian. But the opposite is true. life can become a lot easier if we rely on the Holy Spirit. If we rely on the Lord, He can make our lives a lot easier. That doesn't mean our lives will be a breeze. We will still have troubles and trials and temptations. But if we put our trust in the Lord, He will carry us through those. He will help us in those times of hardship. We experience those times of hardship, whether we accept the Lord as our Saviour or not, we will experience times of hardship. But to have the Lord as a friend through those times to help us through is the most amazing gift that we can have. That's available to us through the gospel message here in this life here. But of course, the the blessing doesn't end there, of course. You see, if you carry on in your way of sin, the Bible talks about a place called hell. I'm sure we all heard of it. It's a horrible place where each and every human being is heading unless they accept the Lord as their Saviour. So, although you might like to not have any cares, not have any worries in this life, you will always have the worry of death. You will always have the worry of what happens after this life. It's something you need to consider. And the Lord Jesus, in dying on the cross for us and raising again, He has opened up to us a way for eternity. You see, we can call now upon God as our Father, but that carries on for all eternity. When we leave this scene here, we go to be with the Lord for all eternity, part of that heavenly kingdom that we become part of. And that is is an amazing aspect to the gospel, that not only are we saved here, not only are our sins forgiven, not only do we have a friend that will help us through all our trials and troubles here in this world, but when it's all over here, when our life comes to an end here, it doesn't stop. The blessing carries on for all eternity. We are to be blessed for all eternity. That is what the Lord wants for each one of us. He has died for us to achieve this for us, that we might be free of our sin, might be free of the burden of sin, that we can come into all this grace, come into all this goodness. He has wanted this for us so much. He loves us so much that He's died for us. That's the amazing point of the message, is God's love towards mankind that was displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ. that we should be reunited to Him, should be helped through this scene here, and that help be taken through to eternity, where we're continually best through eternity. And all we have to do is realise our sin before God and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Saviour. Maybe we'll do that this evening for His name's sake.